Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. It's great to hear your voice this morning.
Thank you. You too. And that's it. And we drop the mic and walk off. I'll start from my side. I was actually telling Sherry backstage, it made me chuckle quite a bit this morning. We've been having a lot of rain in California. Yay. We're still in 60% of the state is in drought conditions, in spite of what the media likes to say. We've got 40%, you know, the state is out of drought. Yeah, that's still 60% that is in drought, even though we have all this rain, because containment is hard when you get this much water all at once. We don't have ginormous lakes like, you know, a number of states. So storage of all that water, all the reservoirs around here, which are quite a few, are full. The rest just runs off into the ocean. So it's a tricky thing. But today, my favorite alert early this morning was a warning from the National Weather Service warning me that for the next 24 hours, there were no storms. And I thought, really? Somebody at the National Weather Service must have a sense of humor. No storms alert. Really? Wow. Like right now, it's sunny. It's amazing. So winter is here for us.
I've been getting a lot of email from people who want to know if the weather is being controlled, and they're looking at all this rain that's coming down and finding plastic goo and gop in it. So we may do a computer program here about what are all of this stuff that's been rained down on it. We already have one called Biohazard. I'll tell people about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of it that's being controlled, and they're seeding clouds, and so... And as an environmentalist, you should be up in arms about this trash. But we should back up a minute, and you can answer that in a second. We should tell people that we are not simultaneously broadcasting. We are only coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. And if you're listening, you already know the number, 347-850-1407. A lot of the times... on shows, we will also video broadcast, but we have decided not to do that on Sundays because everybody was coming to the video broadcast and a few people were coming to Blog Talk. And when nobody goes into Blog Talk, our ratings go way down. So that, I mean, they count everybody that comes in and listens, and that's how you get your sponsors, that's how you get high on the list of, they're recommending you. So, Richard, can you talk about that for a minute?
Certainly. The trick with Blog Talk Radio, and it's we the show itself is podcast out through. Hold on just a second. I'm having a slight technical glitch. There we go. The show itself, you can find it on iTunes or any of the other podcast aggregators, and we get ranking there. However, we also get a lot of good ranking, a lot of search juice, which is good, and it's a great place to find the information on the almost 500 now shows at Blog Talk Radio by going to blogtalkradio.com/Sherry Edwards and looking at the shows and signing up to follow the shows. The great thing about that is, A, it gives us points or juice, no monetary, just more, you know, positive ranking. At Blog Talk Radio in for ourselves. And it also gives you the ability to follow other shows on Blog Talk Radio. If you follow this show, you'll get a notification, usually about 12 hours, and sometimes I do it also an hour or two before the show, of what the up-and-coming show is. And it gives you the login information and the phone numbers and regular bulletins. You don't get spam from us. there's very little PR from Blog Talk Radio in terms of spam. You don't have to, you're not going to be spammed and relentlessly, you know, beaten with junk mail. It's a great way of following us, and also that way, when you come here, when you go to, once you sign up, which is free, then when you log in, you'd sign in a chat, you have a name, we know who you are, we can see you chatting, like I have people already in chat talking. It's really good for us and for the show's rankings, and it's an amazing source of, you know, there's tens of thousands of hours of shows on Blog Talk Radio that you can listen to for free. So you can search for almost anything and find somebody talking about it now. So that's my pitch for Blog Talk Radio. It's a good venue.
Well, we're being sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. And here in Ohio, we stick a microphone in front of your face. We take a 30-second sample of your voice, and we see what's going on. Whether there's balance or imbalance, or you're ready for a heart attack or whatever, it's all experimental, and we invite people to join us from our site, soundhealthoptions.com. And we are just now putting together a software about lipodemia. Now, this is like your lymph system, only it's for the fat system of your body. And we're finding out that there's a lot of GMOs and plastics that are interfering with that system of the body. So we'll let you know when we have that as soon as possible, possibly this week. And the next one we're working on is called Biohazard. We are going to take all the information about what is in this rain that's coming down, this plastic goopy stuff. And you could go outside and check on that, Richard, since you're being deluged after all of this desert-like conditions you've been going through. And let us know if you see any weird things in the rain or if there's any articles. And we will decode all of that, put it in a biohazard program, and that one I will give away on the show. We already have radiation exposure that's on our site under downloads for all of, we built that for people in California, and Richard helped us test it. So we give that away 24/7 along with instruction manuals, because our thing is putting health back into your hands, helping you be self-responsible, self-reliant, which brings us to our wonderful guest, who is going to be talking to us about our secret strengths and what we can really do if we try, and where we can bring that energy and knowledge to our own being as we live day to day. So we'll be with her.
But first, I want to make a comment. I have two things, if I may. One is that, well, actually, I have three. Back to the show for a moment, is that this show on can be found right after the show, about 10 to 15 minutes after the show. If you go to soundhealthoptions.com and click on the blog, the radio tab, there's a tab there now for radio archives for Blog Talk Radio. And if you click on that, there will be the last five shows that we've done right there in the player. And also then if you want to click on that player to go to the show notes from the show at Blog Talk Radio, that will then launch the show, the page for the show that we're on today. So you'll find that there. And then again, also you can go to iTunes and search for Sherry Edwards or Pocket Cast or Dog Catcher or any number of kind of podcast aggregators of your choice and look for Sherry Edwards and all of the approximately 500 shows. We're around the corner of 500, which is amazing. Shows will be there on the list. There's that. Then I wanted to make a comment about that plastic thing. That there's a photographer whose name I cannot think of at this moment who's done a really, I'm trying to think, you know, artistically amazing and yet stunningly, you know, depressing for me. Book on these giant islands of plastic that are floating in the ocean. And the flora, a lot of the birds that die from eating the plastics because it's a colorful, bright thing. And in nature, colorful, bright things are often food. So these birds don't know that this plastic pollution is toxic waste and that ultimately can kill them. either because it gets into their digestive system and causes it to stop working correctly because it can't assimilate that plastic. It's not a digestible compound. So amazing, you know, I'll find his work, Sharon, and see if we can maybe do a bit on that, because it's an amazing thing, this, you know, this shredded plastic. If you think about it, there's a lot of plastic that turns into the little tiny particulates, and those little tiny particulates go someplace, and they're tiny enough that if there's water evaporating, those little tiny particulates can go up. They come down. This is a closed loop system. We're not, you know, we don't have a giant waste management system in the cosmos. It's all going to come back to us. Go ahead, Sherry.
So it's not man-made? Oh, well, it is, I guess, with plastic, but it's not like they're seeding the clouds. It's just happening.
It's just happening by bio-waste, our waste. Those plastic bags that we see on the freeway get, you know, run over a bazillion times, and they get shredded in little tiny particulates. I mean, that's happening all in all sorts of arenas. Trash management systems where they shred project plastic all day, or, you know, it can end up tiny enough to go up into the evaporative process. And it comes back down.
I agree. We need to do a show about this.
Yeah.
But we need to take care of ourselves, too. As we take care of the planet.
That's correct.
And just quit using plastic.
There is that. Or there is a push toward making plastics recyclable, which would be really great, where you can have them made out of not GMO corn. You know, other compounds can be made so they actually do biodegrade. The trick is that they might cost 2 cents a bag instead of a quarter penny a bag, and commerce just isn't a fan of that. Of course, it's a bad subject. I'm going to put a footnote in here, and then I do have one other announcement. Lynn, if you could do me a favor and press 1 on your phone, that'll cause your hand to be raised, and I'll know who you are. I know you're here. I just can't tell which person you are. So if you'll press 1, I think that'll light you up. Now I have a different on Blog Talk Radio. Sorry. That's our guest.
He's talking about Lynn Farley, our guest that is coming in.
Yes. Now, the other thing, I had a whole completely different announcement, but then I saw this on Lynn Fraley's Facebook page, and it just, I'm going to try and be calm about this. She'll give me some breathing exercises, I'm certain. This is from KQED News, which is a local big national public radio station, TV station out here in California, but it's a national syndicated thing. And this is a piece they just did. It was in September of this year, but it's still, it's mind-blowing. Well, not really. Sugar industry funded the 60s Harvard research that blamed heart disease on fat. So think about that. So the sugar industry funded research in 1960s by Harvard that directed heart disease on fat. So they funded research to prove that sugar was not an issue, that it was the fat that was the issue, versus looking at the long-term negative effects of sugar consumption on plaque and a variety of conditions, from, you know, everything from diabetes to whatever. At the very end of the article, it says, in November, the AP also reported on emails showing Coca-Cola was instrumental in creating a nonprofit that said its mission was to fight obesity, even though the group publicly said the soda maker had no input into its activities. A document circulated to Coke said that the group would counter the shrill rhetoric of public health extremists. Coca-Cola subsequently conceded that it had not been transparent, and the group later disbanded. So I'll post this article in chat. This was on Lynn's page. And it's, the other culprit, one of my favorite culprits, Kellogg Company. The companies included Coca-Cola and Kellogg. And Kellogg was one of the founders of the early revolution of the carbohydrate madness. Carbs were good. Protein was not as good. Fats were evil. Carbs were a lifestyle thing. They started that revolution. So when I saw this, I had to report on it. There was other things I wanted to rant about, but that just blew my mind that there's like, oh, look, a study. Yes, and somebody in chat is saying the addictive stuff, you know, it has no energy. You don't have any long-term beneficial effect. It's just addictive by nature. You have sugar and you go, wow, and then you come down and then you need more of that. Wow. Amazing. Okay, Sherry, if you can, do you have an announcement? I'll find Lynn and we will get this ball rolling.
Okay, just a short announcement that our portal, soundhealthportal.com, now has NanoVoice up, so you can do a portion of that, and only a portion, they're working on it, online. I believe it's the one that you can submit a WAV file and do it, and that's the NanoVoice from our site, the soundhealthoptions.com site, that you can download that right to your computer unless you're a Mac user. So for all you Mac users who've complained over the years, you can now use it online. But you can download that and look at it. We're going to be talking about energy today, and there's a lot of issues around energy. If your F&F sharp is down, low in the chart, and it shows you how to read that and look at it, that's down. If C is not very high, and there's a lot of online things to show you how to use it, and there's a booklet there under download for you to learn how to use the little nano voice, and we have an extra tiny nano manual that is available for people. Somebody just sent me a whole list of garbage that's in this rain, so thank you for doing that. That's wonderful. And I will include those in that new software, I promise. But as you go on our site, there are softwares. Other people write books. I write softwares. And we usually give them away to people. We have another two-day class coming up in February, and that's going to be about the heart, the emotional heart and the physical heart. That's a free course, and you get software, starter software, to go with that. So if anyone wants to join us, please go to the site, go to classes, and you can sign up for, it's 2 days, yes, that's a long time, and there are tutorials, but it's a class that we charge normally $1,200 for. But we think people taking responsibility for their own health and get rid of this garbage so our energy comes back up, get rid of these addictions and allergies, and that's one of the things that I think our guest is going to help us with. Are you ready to introduce our guest, Richard?
I am. Almost. I'm so close. Okay, now I can introduce our guest. Lynn Fraley has taught in academic settings, spoken widely about wellness and energy, and supported clients in clarifying their priorities and preferences in the self-care of their physical, emotional, and spiritual life. She's helped people discover the use of natural care methods, including those as simple as the therapeutic breathing, that empowers them in their own healing process. There's a lot of fake news that may trick people into not believing in their own healing potential and strengths. Lynn's work has evolved to help challenge that concept and live healthier, more vital, happy, and meaningful lives. Resetting your priorities and taking inspired action are powerful ways to have the life and health you want. Maximize your strengths with the help of an expert guide who also knows what goes on behind the scenes, behind the curtain, in healthcare. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you so much, Richard and Sherry. I'm so happy to be here.
It's been an adventure, everybody. Backstage already, it's been quite an adventure. It's very exciting. I want to start out right away, and also to give people some of your other background, is that with a BSN in nursing, a master's in community mental health, then a doctoral degree from UC Berkeley with a focus on self-care for women, was there a tipping point or such that moved you into wanting to be outside the regular healthcare game? even though I know you were part of it and observed it. But, I mean, what tipped you into, like, I'm out. I have to do this on my own in a certain way?
Well, when I, you know, the fact that I got a bachelor's degree when I was young, just out of high school, went to college, got to, became a nurse, and I saw right away all the secondary gains that people got from illness and all the promises of treatment didn't really hold. I'm watching this revolving door with patients and people being treated in ways that didn't really seem to serve them. And I'm a young person watching this thinking there's something wrong with the system here, and watching tests cause some damage with people and thinking, is anyone else noticing? So I think I just had a, I think I was blessed with a perch, being able to look at what goes on for some, for a lot of healthcare, and that there were options that people could take to still use healthcare as they needed to, but be able to really be more robust and less dependent. So I think it was witnessing things in the field that were happening and thought, what's a better way of doing this?
Well, and
pure
we
experience.
Had pure experience. I knew, as I say, that's why I really wanted to use that behind the curtain. You really saw behind the curtain from our conversation backstage.
Mm-hmm.
You really saw behind the curtain, and that made you realize, okay, there's the standard of care, or as I will call it, compliance or death. That's my words, everybody, my opinion, my editorial. I want to be clear about that. But you know what happens behind the scenes, and you really, we had also talked that there is a time and a place for Western medicine where, yes, absolutely, they're amazing technicians. They're amazingly highly skilled professionals, surgical people that are just like amazing. And absolutely, when that's necessary, that's great. Well, that's, it's never great, but I mean, it's an amazing thing to have that. However, there's that other part where we had talked about the fact that I had had surgeries a few years ago, a bunch of surgeries, and was in a healthcare system, and that's where it's a whole different game. And that really you need to step in, and that's quite a bit about what you talk about, is you need to establish your own feeling of empowerment.
Right, and that's on a daily basis, because the health, the illnesses, the that stuff, that kind of comes and goes, but every moment of every day we have our, we're sitting in our own energy field. And there's a great deal we can do to manage that. And as you're talking, Richard, you can imagine the listeners going, oh, that's energizing. Oh, that's not energizing. Oh, that, you know, that, they're even noticing where their own spirits are being lifted. And if we notice how we live and how we manage ourselves, where's the blessing? Where's the lightness? Where's the good energy that we're experiencing? And then where does it drop out? And people go, well, I don't know what to believe. But if they pay attention to their own energy, and their energy is dropping and their intuition is going, no, they just need to go, okay, let me think about for myself what's really the truth for me, which is why energy is so important, because no one else can measure that for ourselves, for us.
Mm-hmm. And you had used a really, I know we're going to spend much more time talking about energy, but there was a phrase mm-hmm. that you had used that I, even though I had been part of the system, really deep in the system, I hadn't thought about this part. You used it, talked about not being influenced by the doctor's fear. Can you talk
right.
about that?
I know from experience that doctors have told me, they'll say, we were taught that if you allow your patients to do this kind of different weird stuff and they die, the doctors are responsible. They have a very deep sense of responsibility in the first place for caring for their patients. And when the patients do things that doctors don't understand, they can get fearful, and that's understandably so. Any of us would be fearful of the unknown, and for the doctors, this is not their field of expertise. It's difficult for, I think, a lot of doctors to let go of the fact that people make their own choices, which they know anyway. So the doctor can say, I really believe this is true. And there are times when I've complied, when I knew that I shouldn't, but for the sake of the doctor, I thought, I'm going to give this person some peace of mind. I'll comply, even though I'm thinking this is kind of ridiculous. So I think the doctors are doing their very best. They go into medicine for the right reasons. They care. They want to treat. And for us, you know, and for you, all the listeners, you know, you have your own set of beliefs and knowledge and fear, not fear, fearlessness, confidence that you have to depend on. and not accept that the doctor is always going to say, I agree with you, because who of our friends all agree with us? And the other piece about that is I believe that doctors will say, well, I'm the expert, and the answer is, of course you're the expert, but just because you're the expert, you have one opinion, and a lot of different doctors have different opinions. And for all of us who love our doctors, we have to still allow our doctors to have their own belief and not really allow them their own energy around it.
And also helps. That's really, like I said, not picking up on the doctor's fear was just a phrase I had not thought of. And I think that's really a thing that nobody ever talks about, is that when you're in that situation, doctors have fears. They may not show it because they're trained not to show it. And that in combination with that, and they have that gnarly thing called standard of care. And we've interviewed doctors on the show who got in trouble because they didn't follow the standard of care, meaning that they suggested that their patients use some herbs or try some acupuncture. You know, they got in trouble because they weren't following the compliant standard of care of, like, this is what you're supposed to do. That's it. That's my belief system, and that's all you do get to do. And anything else you do out of that field, you're either in trouble or I don't know what that's called. You know, like the idea of many of the things that you talk about, like breathing, breath work, touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's out of the standard of care, and it's an amazing
and the
system.
Standards of care are state. The doctors are licensed by state boards, and the standard of care in California, for example, is chemo, radiation, and surgery are the treatments that the doctor can discuss when someone first presents with cancer, period. That's the standard of care. So I think listeners probably believe that their doctors can tell them whatever the doctor wants to tell them, but the doctor has a rule book, and the doctor has to comply, or they cannot continue to practice medicine because they have rules to follow. And as you mentioned, there's their standards of care, which may not be even what that individual doctor might want to do, but in order to comply with state licensure, they must follow particular rules.
Wow. I mean, I admit I am in California, so out here, I mean, you could, you know, even here with Kaiser, let's say, I know people who go to Kaiser, and you can get chiropractic, and you can get you can get, you know, stress reduction classes or chiropractic or acupuncture. But when you're in a hospital, it's kind of a different animal. I mean, it's very, particularly, I'll speak about my experience again about being in surgical situations, it's kind of cut and dried in a certain way, in the sense of, here's what we're going to do. I didn't mean to say cut and dry, it just happened, especially the cutting part, that, you know, there's not much room for, well, we're going to try this way. You know, it's a very proven, this is what we've done, this is what has worked, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't leave much room for... Yeah. And is that part of the things that made you kind of step away and go, I can't really do it that way. I have my own belief systems and I'd like people to be well. And here are some things that I've seen my research has shown.
Well, I think because I'm open and I've learned a lot, I've studied a lot, I've talked a lot, I've learned a lot from audiences about natural care measures. And I have a belief, and I think that this is true over the ages, what we do for ourselves helps the healing process. The interventions can help in a short term and be miraculous and save lives and give us a breathing time in order to reestablish back and get back to our own healing. Even in the most dire circumstances, the body is doing its own healing. So energetically, just staying in that field where you just know that there's a lot of life force that we have that we're working with, and not forgetting about that, not just dropping everything and pretending that someone else has all the answers for us.
And why do you think it is that, I mean, you've had so much education in this arena. Why do you think that what you just said is kind of set aside, the body's only potential? I'm not saying if you have I'm going to say it, I can't help it. If you have a finger, that always sounds cinematically so much better. A finger gets cut off in an incident and is in a bag of ice and you're on the way to the hospital. You want that finger put back on. Mm-hmm. And yet, there are times when people have conditions, let's say some sort of lymphatic cancer or some kind of regional thing where your attitude can adjust the immune system. Does Western medicine in your research ever look at that? Think about, you know, how attitude affects the immune system and the body's ability to repair? Do they look at that?
Well, I don't. Maybe you could find something within the medical literature. I'm sure there's something that, in the medical literature, but I think in terms of daily practice, which is where your listeners are today on a daily basis, I think most of our practitioners are looking at techniques and interventions and the more the mechanical piece. That's their area of expertise, which is why all of your listeners are so smart to listen to all these wonderful shows that you do, Richard, probably are a very empowered group so that they know, okay, I know a lot goes on behind the scene, and I can maintain my own sense of belief, my own confidence, my willingness to look around at different data points, but know that we have to control our own attitudes and our own beliefs and our own thoughts with this. Attitude is really hugely important, but if you think about where most Western medicine is, the vast majority is chronic, and there are people who just see themselves as chronically ill, and then you have the acute phase, which takes a lot of the money, and that's, we're not talking attitude, we're talking life-saving, big treatment, just move on, and let's get the job done in terms of correcting some problem here. So I think the attitude comes more when we're at home.
And I will, I'll get us into talking about energy in just one moment. I want to advocate for something that we talked a little bit about backstage, is that it's so, let's say that you do get into an incident situation where you're either, well, even in the case of if you're dealing with an elder, a parent or, you know, an ally or a mate, that it's incredibly important, I feel, this is, I can't quite formulate this into a question, but you'll know where I'm going, that it's so important to have an ally, somebody who can be a witness for you, who it was very handy for me, or actually life-changing, to have a DPOA who was also my ally, durable power of attorney, so that when I was just coming out of a 12-hour surgery and they're coming in to ask you too many questions because that's just how the business is run, everybody in those settings are running hard and fast to get everything done, to have an ally there who goes, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because you've just come out of, like, you don't know where you are. You could have been abducted. It's like you're not even in your body yet. And they're all going, you know, they want you to sign this or do that or ask you a question. Or, I mean, it's just, it's all mind-blowing. So to advocate really for having somebody that you know, like, and trust, like is not as critical as know and trust. They don't have to be friendly and soft and warm. They have to be willing to stand up to a doctor and say, hey, what are you doing? What do you think?
You might have a laugh about this, but I have a wonderful husband and I have a wonderful daughter, and she's in her 20s. And I decided maybe a year ago that if it came down to an acute situation, I thought my daughter would be more willing to be alternative than my husband might be. So I made her the designated medical authority. We had a good laugh. My husband said, hey, that's great. Works for me. I don't have to worry about it. But I put down someone who's more willing to, you know, be probably advocate for what I would want.
Right.
More knowledgeable, more bold.
Right, or more, you know, more willing to go up against the edge of the system. You know, there are the times when the system is really life-saving. I'm not saying that they are out to get you. However, there is that time. Now let's go into talking about, you know, how attitude and, as your phrase is, endless energy, how to get it, how to keep it for passion and productivity. Let's move into that. Let's move out of talking about, you know, cutting people up. That's my obsession. And talk about that. Let's avoid getting to that place.
Right. Exactly. Let's expect, in fact, avoiding getting there is expecting the best. When people say I'm afraid of and they fill in the blank, I say, you may as well plan on it. You're afraid of falling. You should plan for your fall care because your mind is so powerful. And now I will say there's a denial. I like denial as one of my defense mechanisms, denying that something's going to happen. You know, sometimes there's some functionality in denial. which is kind of a two-sided coin, a little bit funny at some level. But I expect to be healthy. I expect to be strong. If things happen, they happen. But I'm going to come back to my expectation, and I know that holding a positive, really believing that, really knowing that I'm not here to have accidents personally. Some people have a lot, and there's no blame or shame at all about anything that happens to people. In fact, sometimes people get ill and they feel bad. That's, what do they do to cause the illness? And I just say there's lessons in here somewhere. We're all on a path, and we don't know why things happen on the path. But the energy we can always come back to the more constructive, positive energy because we have that ability. And it shows up in our immune system. It shows up immediately. It shows up in our breath. I'm sure, Sherry, if she was doing my voice right now, she would probably notice a lot about, you know, my voice pattern because I have some intentionality around being positive and being optimistic about life. And I know that when I hold my energy higher, using my breath, using my thoughts, paying attention to who I'm talking to, paying attention to what I'm exposing myself to, and noticing where the energy goes. Do you ever turn on the news, Richard, and you go, I don't know, I'm not feeling so good? Or you get engaged in a conversation that's not going anywhere and it's not constructive, it in no way is contributing to your life. Then if you pull it apart, you say, I'm losing my energy with this. And then having the confidence to say, I can't talk now, need to go, need to turn this off, need to turn the page, need to take care of myself. I can come back to it later if I want to.
Boy, howdy. You know, with extremely recent situations occurring, mm-hmm. I really chose to make that very decision because I can jump on, any environmental issue. I can be up on a soapbox and barking like a wild dog at the drop of a hat for good. You know, some mm-hmm. people find it, mm-hmm. that's my passion. And so with this recent advent of the no longer president-elect, the now president, and the kind of things that they're spoken of wanting to do, I chose to make that as a conscious choice during the whole, I want a different word. I can't use that word on air. Inauguration, that I chose to not watch any of it. I just could not. I just had to pull away. Do exactly what you did. Talked about. I just had to step away and not watch for the day.
And you took care of yourself.
And I took care of myself.
How do I want my energy to be today? And here's this will work. And this is not. This won't contribute to my health and well-being. And you chose to step away and say, I'm going to spend my day in a different way. There's earthquakes that happen. There's storms. There's ice storms. There's all kinds of things that happen all the time. And it's like we can pin ourselves to the destruction and what have you and on. Not that by stepping away doesn't mean that we don't care. It's just not where we feel it's a healthy place to put our energy for that time.
Well, and let's move over into talking about, you know, energy and attitude and how that, what that can do to the immune system, either on a short-term or on a long-term basis. And before I say that, I have to say, I'm not advocating for being a Pollyanna or saying, I just don't pay attention to any of that. And I know people like that, and that's okay, that's their choice. I can't do that. I pay attention to stuff because I can't help myself.
Right.
And but on a basis where you are working with a health challenge or you're, instead of having that mantra of I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall. And we all know people like that. I have good friends that are like that. I'm always like, really? Can you stop thinking that for just 2 minutes? And so how does that affect the immune system when we have that chronic, you know, we're in a chronic state of flight or flight? Because we have that mantra of it's going to, it's going to, it's going to, versus I'm here now, how's this working?
I'm here now in the moment, my body always can heal. Even framing it in terms of stress, you know, some people say, well, how do I manage stress? Well, the first thing you do is you take away stressors, things that cause you a lot of stress. Let's say the phone rings all the time. Let's say you need a break, you just turn the phone off. You've now removed a stressor that you didn't need. And you go back to take the calls when you want to take them. when I work with my clients, when I work either individually or group, I always want to bring it back to the moment about what they can do immediately that they get a payoff from. Because the other piece, Richard, here is it's always a payoff. And if you go back to the asking about the illnesses or how people live, if people who are chronically ill, if they're always focused on the chronic illness, if they're a member of the club and they're always ill all the time, you can expect that that's probably going to promote the illness because their attention is there. If they deal with their illness and their condition and then continue to do things that are enlivening, that move their spirit, their open up their energy in a healing way, it's a different story.
And does part of this research come from the thinking of Norman Cousins in the sense that laughter is the best medicine?
Norman Cousins did two experiments. One, he laughed his way out of a debilitating chronic illness that was very severe, and he did all these movies, as you know, and laughed and helped to heal, but he repeated the experiment later with a heart attack. And his wife at the time, I think, was a cardiac nurse or something, a medical person. He knew he was having a heart attack, and he managed it in the same, paid attention in the moment, told her what to do, and then went back and did the laughing. So he repeated the experiment, and basically you'd say he did an experiment on how changing his energy state was so important for his healing. It was a pretty dramatic experience.
Wow. To have that kind of consciousness, that's like the Lynn Bolte Taylor. That's not quite right, but that's kind of her name. The medical neurologist who had a stroke, because she talked about she was damaged by the stroke, but she brought herself completely back. And in her TED Talk, Jill Bolte Taylor talks about that same kind of experience where she watched herself having the stroke. Mm-hmm. Even though she did ultimately have effect from the stroke, but she because of her background and her studies, she watched it happening and she watched herself to try and go and pick up the phone. And in her mind, she was picking up the phone and calling somebody and she was doing all that. But when she went to speak, her voice was stroked. She was not able to communicate. And so she, in her book and in her TED Talk, she does this very same kind of conversation of, you know, having the ability to have that kind of focus in that moment is mind-blowing to me. In the ability to, like, your body is in an unbelievable state of trauma, and yet still to, like Norman Cousins or Jill Bolte Taylor, to have that state is phenomenal, to be able to observe that and go, wait, I can change my state. I'm grasping my state, and I'm changing that. That's amazing. I didn't know about that part of his research. That's phenomenal. Mm. That's an amazing ability.
The presence. I was gifted to be in the presence of a couple a few years ago when he suffered a TIA, a transishemic episode, attack, that's what they call it, but TIA, just like a mini stroke, and he had some impairment, and his wife was really grounded, talked to some medical people, found someone who did hyperbaric treatment, which was forced oxygenation. And and this has all happened within hours. He walked out clear as a bell, color better, all of his abilities back. It was a natural care that he just had the presence to say, what can we do now? But I'm going to stay grounded. I'm going to keep my energy in the moment. I'm not going to call 911. I'm not going to do all the other, because that's not my belief right now. And my daughter and I were sitting there watching that, like, we're totally witnesses. But it was another experience, another example of managing one's energy, what's happening in the moment, staying collected, not getting caught up in other people's drama, which is so important in our culture. There's a lot of drama going on with a lot of things. And if you think about it, some people get energized with the drama. Oh, in fact, that was another early thing that happened to me, Richard. You asked about tipping point. I remember people saying, I have the best case of X, fill it in, that my doctor's ever seen. I'm thinking, there's a different affect there than I think you might want to have. They basically had some kind of pride that they had something that was special. And that, and years ago, there was a lot more reward for disease than I think there is now. Now it's like, this is all costing us too much money. Let's all take care of ourselves. And there's much more openness for self-care. But these are all the slippery slopes in terms of self-care and being and what we want to have in our life. That was a lot, wasn't it, Richard?
That's an amazing thing. And the idea that you and your daughter could sit and be in the space with a gentleman as he went through that and hold the space with him, that was his choice, and you were supporting his choice.
And the wife's choice.
And the wife's choice.
Right.
Versus, as you say, the idea of picking up the pot and the pan and, you know, banging the lid together and getting like, oh, my God, drama and the thing and quick, you know, taking charge. Like, he's incompetent. He's made a competent choice. And you are advocating for his competent choice, even though it's out of the norm and amazing.
Right. Well, I know you talk a lot about vaccinations on this show.
Oh, yeah.
May I make a comment about that?
Please.
Regardless of what your listeners' beliefs are, if they're pro or con or if they're in confusion, which, of course, where most people have to be, given all the ridiculousness about the data, quote, unquote, but the idea of staying collected in the energy and saying, what's the timing? Am I going to do it? When am I going to do it? And being really clear and confident and present in the moment with them and their child, mostly, usually it's children, sometimes teenagers, sometimes adults. But again, collecting one's energy so that they can do what they feel is important for them to do in the face of a system that will say, here's what you need to do. And some people go along, and that's their choice, and some people have different opinions. But it's such an important energetic point when it comes to interfacing with healthcare systems. Just a thought, just a thought.
Yeah.
It's like we need to do it right now. Well, if someone's bleeding, you put a compress on right now. You don't think about it. You just put a compress. Then you can think about how you might want to treat the wound. But in terms of a lot of conditions or medications or treatments, there's time to think about it. And it might not be the most convenient for your provider. You may have to make another appointment. But where's your energy? You know, for your listeners, where's the energy in the moment? And if the answer is no, the answer is no. If the answer is yes, the answer is yes. But we all have our intuition, and we all have our own sense about what works for us. Sometimes I'll say to someone, okay, you say you don't really know. What if I gave you $500 to help you make up your mind? Could you know quicker? And they go, oh, now I have an answer. For $500, I can tell you exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't have the $500 to give them, but the idea is let's just move on. And truth, what's your truth? What do you want to do? What works for you? What feels like right?
Well, and there is that, this is in his self-empowerment part, there is the, you know, when I used to have a dog, we would laugh about the bright light, shiny table syndrome. You know, since the dog, you know, is there, they're like freaking out. But that's mostly because the people, I'm a big fan of Cesar Millan, who's the dog whisperer. And I've actually seen him speak in person. I've watched him have dogs that come onto stage that are completely freaked out, not because they're on stage, because their owner, their supposed guide, their pack leader, is crazed. And people think that Caesar spends a lot of time with the dog, talking to the dog or doing something magical to the dog, and really he's changing the space or the energy of the person carrying the dog. And as soon as the dog sees that, the dog's like, oh, I'm cool now because I have a pack leader that knows what's going on.
Oh, that's so perfect.
And I carry that over into the same thing of when you are in a hospital situation, if you're freaked out, then everybody around you, or vice versa, is that it's a tennis ball or a ping pong ball up against a wall. If the people around you are all freaked out and dramatic, then everybody that comes into that room is going to be freaked out and dramatic. And I'm not saying that there aren't times when it's like, oh, my God, we need to do, like you said, when something's bleeding, you need to put a compress on that now. We don't need to, you know, take a moment and think about it.
Right.
But the rest of the time.
But the example with it.
Go ahead.
No, your example with the dog, that's just perfect. If people are wondering where their energy is, like, look at their dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of dogs, we're not really taught. It's like, have your dog. It's like, take the dog, and you should actually know what everything to do with. And dogs have different temperaments. But that's a great point, Richard, about looking at the dog as basically a barometer of one's own energy and where they're keeping it and how collected and how excited the owner can be. And then the dog picks up on it. That's a really excellent point. Having two dogs right now, one of whom is more excitable.
Yeah.
And have a good dog trainer now too.
Yeah. Yeah. Dogs are great mirrors. Cats, not so much. Dogs are great. Cats, I don't know. They're in their own, you know, cats have got their own thing going. They've got I've been doing this for thousands of years. Just leave me alone. I'll come over and see you when I'm in the mood. But dogs are much more responsive to the environment. I've been in situations where there was a lot of fighting going on, not physical, but, you know, shouting and that. And the dog would come over and sit next to me because even though I was not involved in it, but I was in the room with it. And the dog would always come over and sit on my foot and look at me like, you know, what? Are my pack people nuts? What's going on? And she
and your
next
dog
to me
came to your energy field. Your energy field was more settled, so the dog came into that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a fan of dogs for observation. Mm-hmm. You always want to watch those people at the park walking their dogs. That the dog's like straining at the leash and kind of nuts. Oh, stay away from them. They're tricky. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Calm dogs. Dogs at ease. I have a question from chat. How can we lead people to the most inspiring space?
I think the answer is in the question there. By being in the most inspiring space, there are people who tell me that I inspire them. I'm thinking, how? Why? But then I realize that they're kind of connecting to this piece of my energy that makes them feel better. So if you want to support people, we can't make anybody do anything, but if we are the best that we can be and the most collected and the most inspired, it's attraction. And someone who doesn't want to go there is not going to go there. Someone who gets a lot of payoff by being fill-in-the-blanks, annoying, despondent, discouraged, negative, you know, not that we don't love them and have compassion for them, but we're all on our own path. But if we model for people how we want to be, I hope that answers this question. You probably already knew it, but, you know, we want for other people. We want other people to be more thoughtful and have a better energy. And we can pray for them. We can have that. We can have the intention that they can be as peaceful as they can be and as joyous and as energetic that works for them. But it's not about, you know, can't manipulate, can't trick them into it, because they're going to be where they need to be for the moment until they choose to get out of it.
And there's a follow-up question. Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I think the power in there is the word inspire. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know the root of that word, because I think it's,
I'm going to bet you already know, but can I say it?
Yeah, please.
Inspire you. It's inspiration you're breathing in. It has to do with, the word inspire relates to breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, someone's going to fact check me in a second, which is perfectly fine, and I hope they can text right in.
Right. No, that's good. No, I think that's right. I hadn't. Now, as soon as you said it, of course, it's inspiration. It's inspiring. You're taking in.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking in that breath.
Leads me to. And what do you read? You know, some people read inspirational material every morning when they wake up, every night before they go to bed. Just something that enlightens them, it enlivens them, lifts them. There's a way to help. It's habit, the power of habit. Lots of books written about the power of habit. And if the habit is being negative and being at the will of other people, at the effect of other people, family members, friends, the news, what have you, or choosing to be more proactive in where one maintains their own energy.
Mm-hmm. And part of the follow-up question on this is, beyond energy, how does what we can do from within, meaning food, nutrition, environment, that kind of thing, how does that, I know it configures, but is there a, I don't know, I'll say cart before the horse or chicken and the egg thing. I always get kind of lost in chicken and the egg. Let's say cart before the horse. Cart before the horse.
The cart before the horse. You can see the horse there. Yeah,
the horse and the cart I can get. So it's such a, it, I guess it's really the gestalt, I would suspect, is it's the energy of others and what you're putting into your own system, which takes me back to thinking about the opening article that I had to rant about that I found on your website, on your Facebook page about sugar.
Right. Astonishing. I think letting people have their own experience. When people eat cleaner, when they don't eat the white, we pretty much are clear that the, even they say, well, what's wrong with gluten? Well, if you look where gluten is, if you look at a lot of white and fake food, come on, we be honest. Any food that's got 75 ingredients in it didn't come. It's not very close to nature. When we simplify our eating, and I don't want to take away from people. I want your listeners to know that they can do all these wonderful things without feeling a loss of what they can't or shouldn't do. I'd much rather put my energy on a whole piece of fruit, an apple, an orange, some delicious vegetables, foods that are healthy and healing. And when we eat like that, our body's just getting a different input. You don't put water in your gas tank and expect it to move. You can't read junk news all the time and expect to feel really fantastic if what you're reading is taking your energy down. When we eat real food, when we eat things that are close to nature, I really believe organic makes a difference. I don't care for GMO. I think there's a lot of disruption in the body that happens with that. When your listeners go ahead and go on some whole vegetables, whole food, whole meat, organic, using the full fat, do it for a period of time and have their own experience with it. They're not going to, I don't even care what kind of chronic condition they may or may not have. They can find within their guidelines how to eat well, and then they get their own feedback. You just can't put junk in and expect, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Can't expect that you have really trashy diets and that your mind's going to overcome all of it. It's possible, but I'm not going to gamble on that. I wrote a book on nutrition years ago. It was on principles. It wasn't half a cup of this, four and a calories are long gone. Anyone listening who thinks calories are the story, please do your research because that's kind of a little bit of fake news. A friend of mine lost 100 pounds, and this is a book that I wrote a long time ago. It's actually out of print, but I have copies at my home, so I can be happy to mail someone a copy. She lost 100 pounds because it basically helped her get a better orientation to food. We've demonized food. We've made processed food the food to be worshipped, and the regular food is, you know, it's coming back more into fashion. But I think every listener can do their own experiment. Have a bowl of delicious fresh lettuce. No matter where you live in the country, you can still get fresh food because of our production and delivery system. Herbal teas, you know, it's all the rage.
Well, it's amazing how there are a lot, like you say, there are a lot of people out there who are talking about all these things, or whether we call it paleo or you know, the trends. Like again, back to the original article talking about Kellogg's, when the Kellogg's industry came into fashion, and they really did all this information about, you know, said like the Pritikin diet, where carbs were the, you know, there's that trend where we rolled through the carbohydrates are good, fats are bad. You know, that phase, and now we're moved into the sort of like paleo phase, which has a lot of good attributes to it. But you know, it's eat an organic, healthy diet, and have cake occasionally if you want to.
Right.
And have a better attitude.
That's where I am. You know, Richard, does it happen to you if anyone says to you, Richard, you cannot eat this or you should not eat that? In your back of your mind, do you kind of say to yourself, well, yes, I can, or when I feel like it, I can, as opposed to, you know, here's some really cool things we can have, Richard.
Yeah.
Because for me, when you say what you can't have, it's like, forget it. Right away, my defenses go up. Don't tell me what I can't have and what I shouldn't have. I'll make my own choices. But
yeah,
that's,
my inner voice is a little more cursey. But yes. Yes, that's really? Yeah.
I can tell that we're going to go over, and that's all right, because I want to read something from Lynn's vocal print that I was doing while all of you were talking.
Thank you.
Both of you were talking. And then to ask her to do something for our audience. So points of communication, complications, and complaints. And this is what the computer said about you. This is that little nano voice program that we give away to everyone. on that soundhealthoptions.com site. You get satisfaction out of being able to help others find and correct mistakes. You take pleasure in changing things for the better. You have the ability to use words very creatively. You have the ability to inspire people using stories and demonstrations. You would like to have more time to spend on spiritual things. You have a hard time prioritizing what you want to do first. You do what you do for the benefit of all concerned, even if it stresses you personally. Your connection to universal truths absorb your time. And with that in mind, we talked backstage about you doing an experience, an experiment for our audience, that's one of your favorite things to do. So knowing that the computer just nailed you as somebody
it.
Who wants to help us all, could you move us to that experiment that we talked about before?
And that would be...
You wanted to do an experiment. When we're talking about the show, you wanted to do a whole audience experiment.
Well, immediately in the experiment would be you doing a deep breath. You collect yourself. I want everyone who's listening to just collect themselves and have the sense for themselves that they know what they need to do for themselves, for their self-care. Just being in the moment for their own truth, and you want to call it selfish, but don't give it a negative connotation. You for yourself, because when you are the best person you can be, you're the best person to be for somebody else. I do offer group coaching. I don't know if you're referring to that also, Sherry. And if anyone's interested, they're welcome to email me and ask me about that.
And what is your email, if you would,
it's
please?
It's lynnfraley@me.com.
And where's the best site for people to find out about you? Go ahead.
Lynn Fraley, my email, my website's lynnfraley.com, LYNN, F as in Frank, RALEY.com. So LYNN, FRALEY.
And do you want people to find you on Facebook?
And they can find me on Facebook, and Richard did the most beautiful link there. So there's a few Lynn Fraley's. I think Richard has a nice link there.
Right. I'll put that in the show notes. I don't have it at the tip of my... Are you active on Twitter? Are you a tweeting person?
Not so much tweeting, but I'm open to it, you know. I read
not
about
so
it.
Much. Not so much. I feel like it often that way. Not so much. No. I go through trends myself with Twitter. Well, I think the idea of a group calls are so powerful because people get to, you know, have the experience of hearing yourself talk about things, and then people can have, you know, times of asking questions. And you always, in spite of myself, when I'm in a group call, I learn something by other people asking questions, because it's always like, oh, I hadn't quite thought about it that way. Or, oh, my God, you do that too? It's really, you know, groups, it's back to, I'm a big fan of the old, you know, sitting around the fire and telling stories, having group, times.
You and Sherry have done a phenomenal job with the show. You have a very sophisticated group of listeners, which would make a group from this particular show even more powerful. I'm sure there are a lot of people on this call who would have just enormously helpful information and powerful information, and to be sitting in a group of people would be pretty awesome, and supporting them on their own path.
I think what I've gotten from you being on the show is that we need to be more than listening to the music. We need to absorb the music, become the space, be the color, join the light, be one with all there is what I've gotten out of the experience with you being on the show.
Thank you, Sherry, and I want to thank you for the offer for people to go and find their emotional and physical heart, that information that you offered. Heart disease is such a big deal. Why not shift it right now in the moment? That was a great offer you made.
That's really good. I love closing with a kumbaya moment. that was great. That was it. There's so many, you know, I still am looking forward to your book, you know, Compliance or Death. I still think that's a great title.
My book on touching will be out before that one, and then after that book on breast wellness. I even have a free report on my website for breast wellness, because that's something else I think women especially have been compromised with. There are ways to be more constructive and positive about that.
That's a whole other show. That's an amazing.
It's another show.
That's a whole other show. All right, everybody, that was really great, Lynn. Thank you so much. And it's always
fun having
Sherry take a vocal print backstage while you're talking and then giving you that information. I know that she'll email you that full report after the show, but it's always so fun to have people go like, oh my God, that's me. it's just fabulous. I love that.
I'm flattered enough.
Again, yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That
awesome
was great.
Host,
everybody have
both
a,
of you.
Have a, thank you so much. Everybody have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Tuesday. At this moment, I have no idea what we're talking about, but it'll be, you know, great.
It'll be
all
great.
Right, everybody. Thanks again, Lynn. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Sherry.